Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
I've been, during all this time, it's through this virus. I really don't like to talk about it too much, but it's a weird time, I will say that. And it's, coming into the radio station helps because it just breaks up the monotony of kind of just staying by yourself, or in my case with my wife, not really seeing too many people. It is a very weird time. And I know for me, it's taken a whole different level to push myself to do some of the things I know I need to do, because it's just the way I feel. And it's a tough time. I hope everybody's making it through and they're able to push themselves if they're having the same problem I'm having. I wanted to talk today about the steps to home ownership, in fact, the 10 steps to make home shopping and buying easier. More of the steps to make the shopping experience and the buying experience a little better. Obviously, in the times we have today, things are a little different, but certainly I still thought this would be a valuable thing to talk about. And the first step, step number one, would be start your research early. So as soon as you can, start reading the websites, newspapers, magazines, real estate listings. Make a note of any particular homes you're interested in, and see how long they stay on the market. Also note any changes in asking price. This will give you a sense of the housing trends in a specific area. So starting early is important, and starting early will help you also kind of narrow down where you want to be. But this is going to give you a really good idea of how quickly homes are selling, and some of the market that is a big deal. I've had many a customer who've gone through five or six offers on five or six different homes because it's just so hard. There's so many offers sometimes coming through on these homes, especially in certain price ranges. If in the real hot ranges, you get in that lower price range up to, let's say 80,000 up to about, and this isn't lower, but up to about 400,000, it's a pretty hot market, even sometimes above that. And that when you get into that market at this point in time, there just aren't that many homes on the market. So when they come on, they sell very quickly, especially under 200,000. They sell very, very quickly. So you want to be prepared, and you want to make sure that you're looking in the right area, and that you know what you want. And this is why I think the research early really helps, because if you know what you want and you've looked around and you've looked online and you've got a really good idea of what homes are selling for, what they're pricing at, then when you find the home that you want, you need to be ready in this market to make an offer. And you don't want to make an offer on the wrong home, but you don't want to wait on the right home, because if you do, the home's tend to be gone at this time. So you want to move, you want to have that knowledge and expertise so you feel comfortable making that offer. It's not a time when you can sit back and look around and there's plenty of houses on the market, and the days on the market are 60 days, 70 days, 75 days. I just looked at an appraisal, and the days on the market of all comps that they use was 3 days or less. And they used, six comps. All of them were 3 days or less. It's amazing how fast in some areas homes are selling. And you want to know that if you're looking in a specific area, you want to know how fast they're selling. That really will help you as you move forward to purchase a home. The next step, step number two, is determine how much house you can afford. And this is critical. And of course, we as a lender would help you with that, but I think it helps a lot to kind of determine it on your own first, because there's what we will lend you, what we will qualify you for, and then there's what you're comfortable for. And so generally as a lender, we're going to recommend that people look at a home that costs no more than 3 to 5 times their annual household income. If you're putting 20% down, and that's just a rough, obviously 3 to 5 times is a huge change. So, that just gives you kind of the general information. You know, if you go to my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com, click on calculators, you can calculate your payments and that type of thing. So you can see what that is. Or if you want me to do it, you can just send me a, just go to the website and click on contact and put your information in there, and I'll get with you on anything that you ask me. But it is important, that you as you look at that you understand, 20% down, 3 to 5%. So if you're, this says, if your salary is your income is, let's say $50,000, 3 to 5% means 150 to what, to something. Well, not 100%, because it's so many things matter in figuring what you can afford and what you can be qualified for. Your credit score matters. Your debts matter. Your down payment matters. There's just so many things. There's just a lot that we look at when we're coming up with those numbers, which type of program we go on. All of that makes a difference in what you can afford or what we can qualify you for, not necessarily what you can afford. So determining how much you can afford is really determining how much you're comfortable with. What kind of payment are you comfortable with? And then what will that buy you? And you can, you can figure that out pretty much for yourself. And you definitely want to figure out what you're comfortable with. Then once you've figured out what you're comfortable with, then we can talk about, what we would qualify you for. The way we look at it, we start with what is called your debt to income ratios. And the basics of your debt to income ratio is the first ratio is the housing ratio. So that is your new mortgage payment with your property taxes, homeowners insurance, any mortgage insurance that you might have on it. And even though the homeowners association dues aren't in there, the homeowners association dues are counted in there. If you had flood insurance, that would be counted in there. Anything that is part of the house, we're gonna count that. And we count that and we divide that by your gross monthly income. And then we want to see that number, generally between 28, 30, but it's very flexible. So I don't want to tell you that's the number. The second ratio is taking all those same numbers, and then it's taking all other minimum debt payments, and we add those together, and then we go against your income to come up with the back ratio. Now, the tricky part on this is if you have student loans, especially if they're in deferment or there's other type of loans, there's different ways that we have to count those. So you can get a general idea, but it's always best to, talk to me so that we can talk about it and get the right information and make sure that we're counting your income correctly. The other thing is if you're self-employed, or you're commissioned, you have big bonuses, those things, we have to look at how we can count those and how we can justify those in the setup. So that's also extremely important. Now, the third step is you want to get pre-qualified or pre-approved for your mortgage. And so that is a call to me. That is calling me. And this is before you start looking at, actually start looking at homes with a real estate agent. You really need to know how much you qualify for on a mortgage. The second step, you know what you feel comfortable with. The third step is what do you qualify for? Now, sometimes somebody will tell me they want, $1,500 a month. That's the top payment they want, but we qualify them at $2,500. And some people go out and they won't spend more than $1,500 a month. Other people, they'll raise that because they go out and look at houses. They find houses that are a little more expensive. They know they can qualify. But it's vital that you know what that number is so you know what you qualify for. And to get pre-qualified, you just need to provide some financial information, such as your income, the amount of savings, investments, those type of things. And then we'll review the information and tell you how much you can, we can lend and what type of program we can lend it on. And this will tell you the price range. We'll take that number. We'll take the maximum payment you can afford, and we'll convert that into a loan amount and then a purchase price. So there are always some flexibility here, some things that we have to watch, because we, at that point in time, we don't actually know what your property taxes are. We don't actually know what your homeowners, association is going to be. We don't know what your homeowners insurance is going to be. So there are some things that we don't know. So we qualify that, but we let you know based on this information, this is what you can afford. And then once we have all that information, we've run credit, we have what we need, then we can send you a pre-approval letter or pre-qualification letter that allows you now to get with a real estate agent. And after the break, we're going to talk about how to find a real estate agent.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and we're getting ready to talk about how to find the right real estate agent. And this is a critically important piece because the real estate agent matters greatly in your buying home shopping experience. A very qualified, very good agent is going to make the process so much better. There's things that can come up along the way that can create issues, create problems, and a real estate agent, a really good real estate agent, can make that very, very smooth. Especially like the negotiation of the home, you know, your closing, getting to closing, all those things matter, and they can create a lot of stress. With the right agent, they'll eliminate a lot of your stress, as does the mortgage company. With the right mortgage company, it eliminates a lot of your stress also. But how do you find the right real estate agent? You know, the agents are very important partners, as we talked about, when you're buying or selling a home. And so this goes for both buying and selling. The real estate agent can provide you with helpful information on homes and neighborhoods that isn't always easily accessible to the public. They have a system through MIBOR, the Metropolitan Indianapolis Board of Realtors, here in our area. If you're in this area, that's what they're going to look at. Other agents will be with some type of agency where they have access to a tremendous amount of information, not only the houses that are for sale, but if you get an agent who's familiar with the area that you're either buying or selling in, they're going to know a lot of that information. They're going to be able to push you down the correct path and help you all the way along, so that you know what's going to happen and how it happens, and that you make the offer, it's done correctly, and that everything's laid out so it makes it easy to get to closing. You know, additionally, you get a very experienced agent, then their knowledge of the house buying process, negotiating skills, and familiarity with the area, which is, again, very important. You want somebody familiar with your area you want to live in. That can all be very, very valuable to you, extremely valuable, and you want to make sure that you find that person. And best of all, it doesn't cost you anything to use an agent if you're buying a home. They're compensated from the commission. So you want to do that. And my recommendation, again, if you're looking for an agent, you don't have somebody, you know, contact me, go on my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com, you know, in the comment or in the contact, just put your name and basic information, say that you want you're looking for a real estate agent, and give me some basics on where you live, or just give me your address. I'll look it up. I'll give you some recommendations on people who are really good in that area. And remember, if you're buying a home, the agent is compensated from the commission paid by the seller of the house.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
Ron and Karen sent me an email and asked, and I'm using them as the people asking the question, but I will tell you, this is another one that I'm getting a ton of questions, so I thought I would definitely put it in. And this has to do with our time, the times that we're in. They want to know if they have to leave their house to refinance. And what they're asking is, do they have to leave their home? If they're refinancing, do they have to leave their home for any reason? And at this point in time, the only thing that they might have to leave their home for, that you might have to leave your home for if you're looking at refinancing, is closing. Pretty much everything else can be done electronically. For instance, on the mortgage, we call and take the application over the phone, but we have electronic applications. You can take it online. We get all our documents. We have secure loan portals where you can upload all the documents that we need. The documents we send you, you can sign them electronically. And so that can all be done electronically. When you get to your closing, our docs that we send to you before your closing, called the closing disclosure, those are all sent electronically. You can sign those electronically. You don't have to. They aren't mailed. You don't have to come in. You can do all that electronically. The appraisers now, not 100%, but it's getting near that where they don't have to come in the house. There are certain times when they do, but most people will not have to have them in. And then on that appraisals, a lot of times we're getting appraisals, what's called an appraisal waiver, meaning that we don't even need the appraisal. The based on the information that we put in, they've accepted the value and no appraisal is needed. So that's, you know, those things are keeping people from needing to really leave their house for a refinance. Now you do have the closing, and some closings are they're quickly trying to get to the point, and it's some's the title company, some is the lenders, on getting to the point where we can do everything online for a closing. Indiana passed the law; they moved the start date from July to March 30th, and so now we're in at that point where they're able to do electronic closings. But if they aren't doing electronic closings, one of the ways they're doing it is you drive to the title company, you sit in your car. If you're purchasing, the seller sits in their car, the real estate agent sits in their car, or they're on the phone. The title company comes out, hands you your paperwork, they call you, they go through the paperwork, and then you sign it, and then they come back and get it. And so our industry is really changing and really trying to stop the or to stay with the order where we're 6 feet away. So, but we still have to operate. So it is very, very possible to refinance your home with not without leaving your home, but with very little, if any, 6 foot human contact. One thing to remember though, in this time, with the refinances is, you know, some people, they have jobs, but they're not working today. And depending on how your employer shows that is whether you can refinance, because although Freddie and Fannie, the agencies, have gotten very, very lax or have changed the rules to be much easier for appraisals, they've tightened the rules up for employment. They're very worried about people who have lost their jobs, and we used to be able to check your employment 10 days before we'd check with your employer. Now it's like 2 days before. And then it's also checked after we close by Freddie and Fannie. They want to make darn sure that people were working at the time they closed. So that's one. If you were working and now you're on furlough, you know, that can be a problem, but it means we can't close on the loan until you're back at work. But if you know your furlough is going to last a certain amount of time and you're going to get back, you could still start the process. We would just have to wait till the furlough is over and you're back at work, probably one paycheck, although that hasn't been 100% given out. And then once we had once one paycheck, then we could close the loan. So it is certainly possible to finance even if you are in furlough. But it is, again, I guess the big part here is, yes, you can do a finance of your home with almost no human contact, at least within 6 feet. Let's get on to back. We were talking about, finding, the 10 steps to a home buying, home shopping and buying and making that easier. The next step is how you shop for the home and make an offer. Now you found the right real estate agent and they're going to really walk you through this process. It's going to be extremely important how they walk you through the process. And when they do that, you're going to start touring homes with them. They're going to come up, they're going to meet with you probably online right now. They're going to meet online. You're going to have your discussions. You're going to look at, they're going to help figure out, what price range you want to look at, what you're comfortable with, along with what, pre-approval we've given you. And then they're going to kind of walk through that, and then they're going to find homes in the price range and the area, the type of home that you want to look at. And then what most of them are doing is they're sending that to you. And most everything's being done now, virtual tours, pictures, virtual tours. So you can get a really good idea of the home without actually going there. So you can eliminate a lot of the shopping, a lot of the homes that you have to go in. And you narrow it down by the tours. I will tell you, and this is more in buying a car, but in buying a car, I do a lot of car auctions. When you're in a car auction and you go close to it, you stand 10 feet away from a car, 20 feet away from a car, and it can look absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, beautiful. You think, man, this is the greatest car I've ever seen. And then you walk up to it, and it is completely different. Or you've seen the pictures. And it's not that it's completely different, but it is not what you thought it was. So my recommendation is you still want to go see the houses that you've narrowed down. You just don't want to go out and walk through 20, 25, 30 houses. But if you can narrow it down to one, two, three houses so that you know, okay, this is a house I truly am interested. I like the area. Everything looks great. That way you can, you know, you eliminate as much as you can getting out and getting near people. Now, remember, when you go to the house, most of the time the people who are selling the house won't be there. Even in this time, they will leave. So you just, you walk through, you're not near them. You're with your agent, and then you leave. So it's certainly a time you can certainly do that, and it is how you then find the house that you can make an offer on. Now, to make sure when you're ready to make that offer, you know what, I want to go back. When you're in the house, because you now you've gone to the house, you're looking at, you want to do some basic things. You want to, if you're interested in the house, you want to run the shower. You want to check the plumbing. You want to see how the water pressure is. You want to see how long it takes to get hot water coming out of the faucet. These things are important. You want to check the electrical system, but you know, turning on switches and turning off switches. You know, check, open the windows, close the windows, open doors, close the doors. You know, don't just walk through. If you walk through and if you're not interested, don't do all this. But if you walk through and you're interested in the house, you want to do all these things. You want to make sure that all that looks good. Now, of course, you're going to have an inspection, but this is the first step. You want to make sure that everything's working correctly as far as you can tell, and that, you know, that you don't want to make an offer, spend a bunch of money on an inspection, and then find out that, you know, the water pressure was way low, which you could have just turned on the faucet and a shower ahead and realized, hey, the water pressure went way down, it's low. So you want to check those things out. It's also important to evaluate the neighborhood and make a note of things such as an older homes on the block. Are they well maintained? You know, how much traffic goes by? That's a little hard today because there's not as much traffic out there, but you can still get a good idea. Is there enough street parking for your family and visitors? You know, that's something I think people forget a lot. If you're going to have people over, make sure that, you know, there is parking for them. Is it convenient to the, you know, located near places of interest to you, your school, the shopping centers, restaurants, parks, public transportation? I can tell you when I sold new homes, the neighborhood and the area was as important, if not more important sometimes, than the actual house. The neighborhood makes a huge difference. The schools make a huge difference. It makes a difference also in how, what kind of value you're buying. You know, a house stays in greater value, at least from what I've seen. It markets better, you sell it better, it appreciates more with great schools. So, you know, that's something that is extremely important, that you check all that out and that it fits in. Having parks is also very important, either in the neighborhood or very close by. People like that. Of course, right now we can't go to restaurants, but of course, restaurants are a big deal. A lot of people like to get out. Probably one of the biggest things I miss is not being able to go to a restaurant. But you want to take as much time as you need to find the right home. Then you work with your real estate agent to negotiate a fair offer based on the value of comparable homes in the same neighborhood. Once you have the seller and have reached an agreement on the price, the house will go into escrow, which is the period of time it takes to complete all the remaining steps in the home buying process, which is, you know, a lot of that's the mortgage, the appraisal, getting the title work done, all those type of things. Now, while you're, you know, in this, when you make these negotiations, again, you want a top agent. And part of the reasons, there are a lot of things that you want to make sure are done. One, when you're making an offer, one of the things here is we pay taxes in arrears, and you want to make sure that the seller pays the taxes while they lived in the home. It's just a check on the contract, the MIBOR contract, but it's normally going to be checked. And it's normally going to be done. The next is you want to get a home inspection. And a home inspection is vitally important. I have had people many a times tell me, hey, listen, I don't expect any problems with the home inspection. We walked through the house. We checked everything out. We feel very confident. The house is in great shape. And then the home inspector gets there and they find things that you never could see because they look in places that you and I don't go. We don't go down the crawl, and we tend not to crawl in the attic. And they also, they have, you know, pieces that they can use, you know, tools that they can use to test things. And they just make sure everything is correct. And you don't want to go spend this kind of money and not have a home inspection. It's not a requirement, but it is highly, highly, highly recommended. And it many times has brought out the problems of a home. Your real estate agent, a good real estate agent, are all, you know, should have a very good home inspector that they recommend. and it's really important. I have home inspectors. I really prefer you to work with one your real estate agent recommends. But if you're buying a for sale by owner or something like that, I can recommend one. I just think it goes smoother. The agent has a good rapport with the inspector, and they know the inspector, and that agent is looking out for your best interest. They're not going to put you in with an inspector that isn't very good. So you want to make sure that you get the home inspection. The next step, number seven, you've kind of already done this, but it's work with a mortgage banker or broker to select your loan. You know, you've done your pre-approval, and that's really important. And you know, if you've done that, are they getting back with you? Are they answering your questions? Did they get back with you quickly? Did they get your pre-approval done quickly? Did they give you what you needed? Are they easy to talk to? Are they experienced and knowledgeable? Did they send you the proper information? Did they show you, you know, what you can afford? What the offer? You know, like I'll lay out three or four different financing options for you, so you can decide if you want to put more money or less money in. You want a little higher rate and lower costs. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do, and we can put it together. And even up front, talk about, you know, maybe have the seller in this market. It's a little harder, but as things change, yeah, it's called seller buy down, where they pay some to buy down the rate, which and they don't discount the house as much. And that really can help a lot of times. But we just go through that information and make sure you pick somebody you're comfortable with, that they know what they're doing, and they can walk you through that process. Number eight is have the home appraised. Now, this is not one you really have a option, because as a lender, we're going to have it appraised. It has to be appraised. If you're paying cash, still have it appraised. You want to know that you're not overpaying for the property, and that appraiser is highly trained. I'm not saying they're always right, but they're highly trained to appraise a property. They're going to look at the whole area, and they are going to give you a really good idea of the value of that home. We as a lender won't do it without the appraisal. We require it, as every lender does, or a waiver of that appraisal, because they know that the house value is there based on the houses that we currently have financed through Freddie and Fannie. You also want to coordinate your paperwork. If your paperwork, there's a lot of things you're going to need, and you're going to want to make sure you have all that, especially if you're selling the house. You don't want to pack everything up and then not have what's needed for your mortgage. So you just want to have all, and there's a lot of paperwork in buying a home or in refinancing. So you want to arrange all that. Well, the lender will arrange the title company to handle all the paperwork also, and that's where you close, and they just disperse all the funds. And then closing your sale. So you close on the home, you'll sign all the paperwork required to complete the purchase. We've talked about that. You may be doing it in your car or online, but it's going to be done, including all the documents. It's on a refinance. That's why I wrote it. On a refinance, it actually, there's a 3-day right of rescission. So it takes 3 days. But on a purchase, you fund the same day. That way the people can have the house right away. And then everything's returned. All the paperwork's returned to the lender. Also, any money that you have to bring to closing, there's something called the good funds law in Indiana, and you have to have your funds up to $500. You can write a personal check up to $10,000. You can have a cashier's check, and over $10,000, it has to be wired. I always recommend you check with your title company above and beyond that, because some title companies will have different requirements, but those are the minimum. They can be stricter than that, but they can't be less than that, because that's an Indiana law. So hopefully that helps. Those are the ways to make the steps to home ownership as easy as possible. I appreciate you listening, and please listen next week from 3:30 to 4 as I talk about the ins and outs of refinancing your home.